All right. Thank you, ladies. May the Lord find us faithful. I tell you what, it's not just talent, it's faithfulness that counts. Amen. All right. Tonight we have the blessing of having two of our missionaries from the Philippines. We have Brother Glenn Mormon that chauffeured them up. Raise your hand over there for us, Brother Glenn. We appreciate you doing that. And of course, I have trouble even pronouncing names of people born in Florida and Georgia, much less the Philippines, amen? So I'm going to just use their first names, and I'll probably mess at least one of them up. But we're glad to have them tonight, and I want you to consider, the world's getting worse. We know that. The Bible says so, and things look pretty dark right now in a lot of ways. But God is still saving souls on the mission field. And I really believe if the Lord is delaying his coming I know he's going to be on time, but it's the results we're seeing by sending the gospel around the world. And that's important. And that's what we're involved in our faith missions. And, of course, the Philippines is one of the places that God is using. There's been more revival and more souls getting saved. Preacher years ago theorized that the gospel moves from the east to the west, and Philippines is west, and it's like revival over there compared, and I hate to say it, to America, but it's true. Tonight we have, I'm going to ask first Brother Jerry to come up. He's going to give us just a few minutes of testimony. Brother Jerry Fontanilla from the Philippines. Brother Jerry, you come on up and speak to us here a few minutes, and then we're going to have Brother Melcher, if I said that right.
Good morning. I heard the pastor say good morning. And actually, it's morning in the Philippines. We are the same time, but it's evening here, daytime there. So, I'm Jerry Fontanilla. Let me first thank Pastor Carter for giving us the privilege to be here, because I could only see his picture in the picture and sort of the Lord. And now I met him personally, shook hand with him. he's a popular pastor in the Philippines among the Baptists. That's why it's a privilege to be here in your church, really a privilege. So thank you, Pastor Carter. And of course, I want to thank the Help Ministry for this ministry, helping the national to evangelize our nation. Thanks a lot for Help Ministry. And Brother Glenn for driving us, and especially Brother Scotty Drake, the first time I met him here somewhere. And for you, church, for sending American missionaries. Amen. And we are the fruit of your labor. Amen. With my former teacher, it's my teacher in Bible school. So I praise God for having this privilege to say about my testimony. My spiritual journey started when I was on third year high school, when I was seeking God, but when I realized that it was actually Him seeking me, amen, not I seeking Him. It's the other way around. So that was my third year high school. And I met the Lord when I was in my second year college in Manila. I was, my parents pushed me to take up medicine, but I had no interest for that subject, so I quit it, and I went to a Bible school in the Philippines. And my dad just threw away all my things, I won't support you for doing that. And so we're strict Catholic, so I was disowned by my parents. And just to pursue my Bible college day, I go every night. I have a tricycle. You know what a tricycle is? Yeah. I do the Uber. I pick up passenger at night for a pay. I pick up passenger from 4 p.m. up to 11 p.m. evening. The next morning, I will go to Manila. That's about 20 miles away, maybe. And I will sit on my class, and he's my teacher. I sleep in his class. I sleep in his class. That's why, you know. Yeah. And I really thank God. I finished my course, and I'm serving the Lord as a I pick up kids in the church. I lead the choir. And every time my pastor is out of town, he asks me to preach in his for him. So I'm just about happy doing it. Yeah, I'm contented with that, doing it. But I felt the Lord is calling me, so I asked the Lord the questions. Then, Lord, give me a reason why I should serve you. I'm serving you right now. I drive, I conduct the, I do this. You know, what do you call this? Song leading, a little choir. I'm satisfied with it. I'm serving you, Lord. And then I felt the Lord is calling me, so I asked God, Lord, give me a reason why I should serve you. And I would like to share these verses, just a few verses, why I'm serving the Lord. And you know what? God gave me 23 verses. And I won't share the 23 verses, just a few of them. And I think there are some Bible students here, right? Yeah. And this is the reason why I'm serving God, because of these verses. Number one is in 1 Corinthians 6:19. It says, "What you know not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own." That word pricked my heart. You are not your own, Jerry. Why won't you serve me? I'm not my own. This body is not mine. I got to take this body to serve my God. Then another verse God gave me is Genesis 2:7. It says, "And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostril the breath of life, and man became a living soul." There is something in you, Jerry, that doesn't belong to you. Yes. It belongs to mine. The breath of life I gave you. You are alive and you are living because of me. So that verse really pricked my heart and say, my body belongs to you. It's your temple. My spirit, the breath of life in me belongs to you. Then here comes the third verse. Ezekiel 18:4, it says, "Behold, all souls are mine." Then I realized that God is telling me soul, body, spirit belongs to God. And what is my reason to withhold my ministry for him? And then he added, "For God has not given you the spirit of fear, but the power," that's ability, he gave me ability, "and of love, and of sound mind." All this thing God has given you, Jerry, why don't you serve me full time? Then I surrendered my life to him. And then one thing more, in Luke 9:23, the Bible says, "If any man come after me," what's the word? "Let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." I have to deny myself. The only thing, my body belongs to him, my spirit belong to him, my soul belong to him, sound mind belong to him, ability belong. You know, what's left? What's left? The only thing I think was left in me is my self-will and my self-righteousness. Yeah. And still God is telling me, "You deny yourself and follow me." Good. And that verse pushed me to serve my Lord. Yeah. And one verse I'm scared of is this, and I'm finished. "We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." That scares me. For everyone may receive things done in his body. Romans 14:10, for we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. All of us will give account of himself. All of us will give account of what we have done in service to him, or anything that you have done in your lifetime ministering to God. It's all recorded. And that scares me. I got to do something for my Lord. And I gave my life. And right now, we will be celebrating our 13th church anniversary this December, the second week of December. And praise God, still continuing, still doing the work there. And praise God for the churches like you that are praying for national pastors. Thank you very much for having us. Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you, Jerry. That was good.
Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you, Brother Jerry. That's a good reminder. What is it you're trying to keep to yourself? It all belongs to God. Amen? That's a good message for us. And God using these men over in the Philippines. Brother Scotty has been over there, of course, many times. And I got to go over there one time, and it was an inspiration to me to see what God was doing. I'm going to ask Brother Melcher to come on up. And I'll let him maybe pronounce his whole name, last name to you. And we're going to ask him to come speak to us tonight. God bless you.
Thank you, Pastor. Good evening to each and everyone. Thank you, Pastor Glenn, or Brother Glenn, for bringing us here. It's a dream come true to meet one of the great men, honored and be an example for us as a young generation preacher. And greetings from the Philippines, composed of more than 7,000 islands. It depends if it's high tide or low tide. I'm Pastor Melchior Bunyog, 53 years old, married to my wife for 29 years. The Lord blessed us with 3 children, 2 girls and 1 boy, ages 25, 23, and 21. We traveled 10,000 miles from the Philippines for almost 24 hours. But one thing that we have to learn here in America is that we have to learn how to preach 20 to 25 minutes. So I have to remove my shoes first. If ever I already exceed my time, somebody will shout it back. Hey, preacher, you're done with your 25 minutes. Please. Would you mind to turn your Bible, please, in the book of Romans chapter 10, as we honored always the Word of God? I just only want to read the one verse, although we will cover the following verses. In verse 14, the Bible says in verse 13, if you can, please, if you can, shall we arise up, please, as we honor the reading of his word. The Bible says in verse 14, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall what? Shall be saved. Are you saved? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for the opportunity that you have given to us. Thank you for the opportunity of meeting our American brethren. And thank you to stand behind this pulpit as a testimony of what they have done. They prayed, they sent. And now, dear God, we are now the evidence of the answered prayer. Lord, my prayer that you will continue to work and encourage these people so that we will continue to go into the regions beyond and share the word of God, in order that these people will come to know you also, like us, as their personal Savior. Help me, dear God. Without you, we can do nothing. In Jesus' name, these things we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's all now be seated, please. Don't wait for a call. The command was already given. The excuses and alibis of many Christians today, why they are not involved in evangelism, is that they are not called by God. That's usually what we hear from a lot of young people. Pastor, we are not called. Well, even you are not called, the mandate is already given to the church. Hudson Taylor once said, the Great Commission is not an option to be considered. It is a command to be obeyed. So when the Lord is ascending to heaven after giving the commission in Acts, ye shall receive the power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses. And the Lord is ascending. They are watching And they're watching, and they're watching. And then two angels appear and said, "What you are standing for? The mandate is already given. Go and preach the word of God." Amen. You have already the power. You have already the Holy Spirit. You know, our text gives us the solution to man's problem. The greatest problem of man is not food. It's not shelter. It's not clothing. Of course, that's the basic need of man while we are here on earth. But we know that man is a living soul. Amen. We know that death will come, and if rapture will come, they will be left without Christ in their heart. You see? The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. What is the judgment? Hell. The second death. They will be tormented there day and night forever and forever. We cannot afford to have that if you have really the love of Christ. You see? That's the greatest need of men. Men need to be saved. Why? Because they are sinners. Who can save them? We know that it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen? How they can be saved? According to our text, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall what? Be saved. Amen. You see? The greatness of our prospect, brethren, who are the whosoever? The whosoever is the same to the whosoever of John 3:16. Yeah. The Bible says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Yeah. You see, the whosoever is the 195 countries in the world. Amen? Located in 6 continents, 54 countries in Africa, 48 in Asia, 44 in Europe, 33 in Latin America and Caribbean, and 40 in Oceania and 2 in Northern America. These are what John 3:16 covers. This is our prospect. This is the song that the children sing in the Sunday school. Jesus loves the little children. All the children of the world. They are yellow, black, and white, and brown also like us. Precious in his sight, Jesus loves the little children of the world. Amen? Oh, I tell you, I do believe that whosoever has the privilege to hear the warning and the good news of salvation, we have to blow the trumpet and give them the warning from him. Let us not be selective. God is not a respecter of person. Amen. He is not willing that any should perish. Right. Amen. Whosoever includes the vilest sinner like Saul, who became the greatest apostle, who once professed that among the apostles I am the least, but among the sinners I am the chief. Yeah. Amen. They whosoever includes the best and nicest people like Cornelius. In the book of Acts, and the Pharisees who love to brag about themselves. Right. Oh, sir. Oh, and he said, "Oh Lord, I am not a sorcerer. I am not like this and like that. You know, Lord, I am better than the practice. I fast twice in a week. Do you fast? One thing that I observe in America is that you are so abundant with food. So I have to be careful because every day I'm winning gains. I'm gaining weights. I just only brought 30, and since I have to buy Tricia for 32 size, I'm getting bigger. Are you still fasting? Or always feasting? Do you pray? I give my tithes. You know, one thing that I have served as a pastor for many years, one of the hardest things to preach is first Christian living and second is Christian giving.
Right.
Where people get offended and left the church. It's their loss. Amen? Because I believe that's the greatest thing that I've learned as a Christian for many years. When you live a life that is holy, you live a life that is separated from the world, God gets the glory through your life, amen? You know, And I believe that the measurement of a church that is growing is that you are also giving. You see, that's the very reason we do not measure our church in these four corners of our church. We do not measure our church to the what we call seating capacity, but also in its sending capacity. Amen. The whosoever are the best and nicest people like Cornelius, like Pharisees, like the Israelites who establish their own righteousness. They have the zeal. But the Bible says, according to verse 1 and 2, that's the burden of Paul. That Israelites may came to know also the Lord as their Savior. Why? The best and good works of man is compared to a dirty rags in the sight of God. The Bible said, not of works, lest any man should boast. And to be added, whosoever includes those who profess to be saved, calling in the name of the Lord, like the five foolish virgins. They have the lamp, but they don't have the oil. They do like wet, but they are tares. And the saddest thing that they can hear one day, the Lord will tell them, I never knew you. I never knew you. That's the saddest word, expecting but denied. And a lot of churches today, as I heard, the greatest threat in Christianity today is not the ISIS, but those who support Christians that are lukewarm. If you are really a Christian, I hope you do not only profess, but you really possess being saved. You see, you've been here, and we've been member of many churches. Maybe you say, oh, my grandfather, oh, my mother, and my father. But you know, you do not inherit to become a Christian. You must have a personal relationship. You made that decision in your life, one time in your life. Amen? Verse 14. We can see here our program, as we have seen, our prospect is so large. One, how many? It's almost 9.5 billion in the entire world. In our country only, we have about 105 million. Praise the Lord, He gave us the way how to win these people. Amen. If whosoever will be saved by means of calling in the name of the Lord, we have to answer the four important questions. There must be what? Right belief. Wrong belief is abounding anywhere. The major cults, the hairline cult. They believe that Jesus is Savior, but you have to protect your salvation because tomorrow you might not be saved. Praise the Lord. I am a Bible-believing Baptist who believe in eternal security. Once you are saved forever. Amen? Amen. Wow. You see, if there must be right belief, there must be right belief. Wrong belief is abounding anywhere, as I said, the major cults and the hairline cult. Okay? If there must be right belief, there must be something that they must hear. How they shall call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they shall not hear? There must be something that they must hear. And that is, what thus saith the Lord? Amen. They have to hear this word, the word of God. When the rich man in hell made a request, because he was denied in his first request, he made the second appeal to send Lazarus to his father's house, for he has five brethren that needed to be warned. The Bible says, I pray therefore, Father Abraham. Before, as a Catholic, we believe that we have to pray for the dead. Yeah. But when I come to know the word of God, it is the dead that they are praying for the living. I pray you therefore, Father Abraham, that you will send him. What is the answer of Abraham? They have Moses and the prophets. What is the Moses and the prophets rather than the word of God? Amen. Amen? Let them hear them. Amen. Amen? Amen? We have to preach the word of God. Let them hear them. They have the law and the prophets. We have the Bible. Right belief comes from the hearing, and hearing this book, as the Bible says in verse 17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. Amen. The third, there must be a preacher. A preacher of righteousness, amen. Nowadays, there's a lot of preachers that are not preacher of righteousness. We still believe in the high premium of a good quality. Now the issue in the Philippines is, can a pastor can be disqualified? If there is qualification, so therefore there is a disqualification.
Amen.
Amen? You know, we have to magnify our office. Why? Because that's the highest calling. That is a holy calling. Amen? It is a heavenly calling, and we have to magnify our office. You know, a lot of people will say, you know, some preachers are, they are like, you know, they are good in talky-talky, but not in walky-walky. Show me your faith by your works. Amen?
Amen?
A preacher of righteousness, not a priest from the Catholic, not an elder from the Mormons, not a member from Jehovah's Witnesses, or not an imam from a Muslim. It must come from us that comes from the fourth point. They must be properly authorized.
Amen.
Amen? How shall they preach except they be sent? The Lord himself honors and submit to the authority of a Baptist preacher, because he is the one sent from God, according to John chapter 1, verse 3. Look at the book of Acts 8, 26 to 20. While this man is reading the Bible from the book of Isaiah, the Holy Spirit talked to this man, go, catch him. He's going back without Christ in his heart. He has the Bible, but he cannot understand. And Philip ran, amen, and asked that question, do you understand what you are reading? How can I, if nobody will explain? Amen?
Amen?
The command, the submission of Philip, and the response and the result, that man came to know the Lord and get baptized that day also.
Amen?
Amen?
Yes, sir.
Now, we are here today. Maybe you are ashamed to shout about my shoes. But I have to obey Pastor Carter. This is church. If he will come to the Philippines, I will ask him also to preach 1 hour and 30 minutes. We are here today, brethren, by thanking the American for sending your soldiers through the leadership of General Douglas MacArthur when he promised, I shall return. And praise the Lord, he fulfilled that promise and he did return. And because of that, we have now a nation that is independent.
Amen?
But so much, we thank you so much, American, for sending your missionaries in the Philippines on the early 50s, 60s, and even 40. You know, we are now the result. The whosoever that our forefathers saw as they submit to the command of God to go into the regions beyond resulted to our salvation. I believe you are here today, prayer meeting. I am a result of a prayer in the prayer meeting.
Amen.
You are here today because you are the answers to their prayers, your forefathers.
Amen.
We are here today as answer to your prayers, and praise the Lord. Purihin ang Diyos. Buwana asipewe. I learned that from the co-missionaries that we have today roaming around also, like Satan, Tosto and Pro in Florida. The one from Kenya, praise the Lord, Buwana asipewe. The Mexican, Gloria a Dios. Paco? Amen? In our own language, madaydayaw ni Apo. We have now the opportunity to be a partner. Amen?
Amen?
To be a partner in winning the whosoever. This is the time. This is the moment. You know, one of the greatest things that I'm expecting that it can happen any moment is the rapture.
Amen.
I pray that the Lord will come, not because I'm full of problems, because the world that we are staying at is not a desirable place.
Right.
You know, I want to see my Savior.
Amen.
But before we will enjoy heaven, there will be a Bema judgment. I believe that the most coveted crown among the five, taken as a pastors, we have the crown of glory. But I'm not so much excited with the crown of glory. I'm so much excited with the crown of rejoicing. I am about, and even my brothers are on the planning of taking the life of our mothers, leaving us at the age of 6. My dad died when I was 9. Full of bitterness, we have to survive in our own life. Learn at the early age how to smoke cigarette, how to drink, and even come to the point of using those illegal drugs. You know, before I got saved, the Gideon Bible is the distributing Bibles in school. It's a crime if the policeman in the random checkup, they will coat you with the rolling paper. So what we are using before, in order to take that marijuana, is to use the Gideon Bible as our rolling paper. And praise the Lord, the same Bible that we use as a rolling paper is the same book that will change our lives. The Lord intervened before we become a murderer, before we become an addict. You know, the Lord save us. We are the result. You know? And our mom that we're supposed to be to kill, after we find her being a drunkard and a manizer, you know, a man is a womanizer, but our mom is a manizer. She loved to run with other men. That created bitterness to our heart. She can afford to leave the 6 siblings, survive in their own lives. Left us being bitter, we want to do that, but praise the Lord, the greatest miracle that had happened is that we learned to forgive and we learned to love. And we prayed for our mom, and as a result, she came to know also the Lord as her personal Savior. And as a result, among the 9, including the 3 from other father, they came to know also the Lord. And 3 of us became a pastor. 1 became a pastor's wife. And we are now making on the second generation pastors. I have 3 nephews. My daughter will be married also to become a pastor. You know, we are the result. And you know why I'm excited? Because I believe my mom will come to me after all those cryings in the night, that the Lord will pity her and accept to be saved also. And as answered prayer, our mom learned to love us and ask forgiveness. Amen. You know, I believe on that scene will be in heaven, my mom will embrace me. I will embrace my brother who won us to the Lord. These churches that we have established in the Philippines, I pioneered already 15 daughter churches from the main church that I'm pastoring now for 30 years. Amen. You know, the Lord is so good. And now I'm experiencing the love of the members. Every time, now and then, they are there reminding us, Pastor, we love you. But so much, I'm so excited when we reach heaven, as we are receiving that crown, the crown of rejoicing, people will come and say, thank you. Thank you for giving to the Lord. You all familiar with this song? Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you give. Imagine this bus of people who will come to you, Asian, like Chinese, Japanese, Cambodian, Vietnamese, Sri Lankan, Mexican, Filipinos like me, as we have no time to mention the other countries from different continents as we sing the song. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I just want to sing one of the stanzas of the song, and I will end. The song says, one by one they came, far as the eye could see. Each life somehow touched by your generosity. Little things that you have done, sacrifices made, and notice on the earth, in heaven's now proclaim. I know up in heaven you're not supposed to cry, but I am almost sure there were tears in your eyes as Jesus took your hand and you stood before the Lord and he said, my child, look around you, for great is your reward. Salamat for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. Agyamanak for giving to the Lord. We are so glad you gave. It's not a picture anymore. It's not a slide. It's a reality. Flesh and bones, we are saying to you, thank you. You're not going to help us because we are third country nation. If you're going to help us and to be a partner because you believe we can accomplish greater things for the glory of God. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Church, for your love for souls. Amen. I'm here today from the bottom of my heart. I am saved because of your prayers. Let's continue to pray that the Lord will send more laborers into His vineyard.
Well, let's stand with our heads bowed a moment. We've just heard from the Lord, I believe. Amen. I just suspect He's spoken to some hearts, and you think about what a tremendous message, and He's saying, thank you for missionaries being sent, thank you for giving, thank you for sending. Heaven's got a record of every bit of it. Every soul that's been saved. And look what a miracle as you heard the testimonies of these missionaries tonight. What a miracle. God reaches into some situations like you just heard about. My, my, my. Tonight, invitation's just this. I want you to look in your heart. Maybe renew a vision about sending the gospel around the world. Faith Mission Conference, we have it every year. We struggle to make our goal. The cause is so great. The need is so great. Tonight, as we just have a verse of invitation, it'll just be this. Whether you come to the altar or stand where you're at, just look deep in your heart and say, Lord, am I doing what I could? Am I doing what I committed to you that I would do by faith? Is there more I could be doing? Lord, help me not to forget in my busy schedule what's most important. And as the missionary just said, when we get to heaven, we're going to meet those lives that up there. There is going to be that rejoicing over those that was in heaven because we gave, because we cared. We don't necessarily have to sing, but let's just have a little invitation tonight. Father, speak to our hearts, speak to mine, speak to everyone that would be faithful in our giving. Lord, we don't always see, and therefore we forget what you're doing with that we give, that we send. But Lord, you've got a record of it. One day we will stand before it and we'll see. And I pray it'll be a day of rejoicing because we've been faithful and honest and cared. I pray you'd bless these missionaries that spoke to us, bless their families back home, their ministries. Keep using them, Lord, and giving them strength. Bless Helps Ministries, Lord, as they are doing so much to get the gospel around the world. And thank you, we can have a part in that right here. Thank you for sending your messengers to us tonight to speak to our hearts. And we thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Real blessing, Wednesday night, shot in the arm that we need. It's easy to get wrapped up in the warfare and struggle and bad things that's happening and forget some of the good things that's happening. The good things is the gospel's still going around the world and souls are still being saved. Amen. These men are going to drive back to Tampa tonight. But if some of you would, and I'd especially say this to some of you college students, come down and shake their hand. They make a little fuss over coming over here and meeting an American preacher like myself and others. But the honor is ours to meet them and see how God is using them. Amen.